Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Check it, 22 minutes past air, tuned to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, live all across America, of course, on the fabulous internet. And if you go to the iHeartRadio.com website, you can download the iHeartRadio app and take Ring Talk live worldwide, anywhere you go via your cell phone or your tablet, straight up, live or online. You can listen to the show at iHeartRadio.com. You are tuned to the longest running fight show news, Ring Talk live worldwide. We are honored to bring in Leo Fong, a mentor and a training partner, of course, of the late Bruce Lee. Mr. Fong, how are you this morning, sir?
I'm doing fine.
That's good. Tell me, you're a filmmaker. What does that mean when you're a filmmaker? I mean, what is
that?
Oh,
I shoot movies. Okay. And, you know, I started out as an actor. And back in 1974, right after Bruce Lee died, a guy in the Philippines, a producer in the Philippines, wanted to find another Bruce Lee. And Bruce Lee got me on the cover of Black Belt magazine, and he saw that cover, and he wanted to know if I wanted to be another Bruce Lee. I said, well, I never acted before, so I don't know about being another Bruce Lee. So anyway, I end up in the Philippines and signed a contract and started my movie career. Okay. So now I produce, I direct. So I've been doing this stuff since 1974.
Okay. Maybe I'm putting the cart before the horse. But the bottom line is, you met Bruce Lee back in 1962. Was that here in Oakland or in L.A.? Where'd you meet him?
In Oakland. I met him in Oakland in 1962.
Okay. Talk to me about that.
Well, what happened was I was training with Jimmy Lee and at the Siloam Kung Fu School. And one day Jimmy said, the instructor and I don't get along because he accused me of stealing $10 from him. And he said, I'm going to start a class in my garage over there in Oakland. So you want to come? I said, yeah, I'll come with you. So I started training with Jimmy, and I was living in Vallejo, California at that time. And one day Jimmy said to me, Leo, can you come to Wally J's luau? And I said, no, I don't usually go there, but what's so special? He said, there's a kid coming in to do a demonstration, and he's 21 years old, and he's a phenomenon, and his name is Bruce Lee. I said, okay, I'll go there just because of you. So I went there, and Bruce did his demonstration. He got on the stage and started doing all kinds of classical kung fu movements. And he said, how in the hell can you fight like that? And there was a lot of kung fu masters in the audience. I looked around, and their face was turning red. And then he asked if anyone in the audience wanted to come up and stop his punch or his jab. So there's some big old guy come up, jumped on the stage, and Bruce threw a jab at him and almost hit him in the forehead. And he said, let me try it again. Maybe you're not ready. So you ready? The guy said, yeah. It's a boom. And same thing. And then he said, anybody else want to try it? And a couple of other guys come up. And I mean, his speed was phenomenal. And I saw that, and I said, he's pretty good. Because I used to be a boxer. And then so Jimmy said, well, he's going to stay in my place, and maybe Monday night we're going to meet, and you were invited to come over. I said, okay. So I went over there to Jimmy's house on Monday night, and so Bruce, what he did was he had Bob Baker, who was in one of the movies, was there, and then a couple other guys. And he had Bob Baker put the Oakland telephone book on his chest. So he said, I'm going to hit you with a one-inch punch. So he hit Bob with that one-inch punch and knocked him into the couch and over the couch. And there was a window behind that couch, and I thought he was going to hit that and break that window. And then he started doing the trapping hand stuff, and then he was doing the chi-so, the sticking hand with his with a mask on his eye, doing it blindfolded, and stuff like that. So I was kind of impressed. I said, yeah. I said, that's interesting. Yeah. And so he said he's going to start lessons in a few weeks when he get back. And so I joined his class, and that was 1962, you know. And so I trained with him and kind of like his buddy. all these years until about 72 when he went to Hong Kong and made it big. And then I get letters from him here and there, and I have some of the letters, you know. And that's how, you know, my relationship started with Bruce. There's a lot of water went under the bridge in those 10 years that I knew him.
We're talking to Leo Fongfos, filmmaker extraordinaire and a partner of Bruce Lee's back in the day. Of course, Bruce Lee born just a few blocks from this studio in San Francisco at the Chinatown Hospital on November 27, 1940. He was born, he wasn't born Bruce Lee, but, you know, he Americanized his name when he came here with the family. They Americanized him. In fact, they were just here on tour, I believe.
Lee Sao Hong, I think, was his Chinese name.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, he how can I put this? He acclimated quickly to his surroundings. I mean, he was a child star. He was doing movies as a kid. Films and commercials and this and that, both here and in Asia. I mean, he was multifaceted early on. We knew he was if you looked at him back then, sort of like you knew he was like Tiger Woods. You know what I mean? Tiger Woods.
Yeah. You knew he had it in him.
Yeah.
It just had something, circumstances just let it come out. Yeah. Amazing.
In fact, he played a baby girl in a Chinese movie. I kid you not, called Golden Gate Girl. Of course, all this stuff is courtesy of my buddy Malcolm Boutwell. Malcolm sends me like the Encyclopedia Britannica version of notes to prepare for a show. And he sends me like these tens of pages. Like, we can go on for like 3 or 4 days here on Bruce Lee. But Bruce Lee and his impact on the world of MMA, 135 pounds. What do you think? Was he 135 pounds? Is that what he weighed max?
Yeah, he was 135 pounds when I was hanging out with him. He's about 135. And I was, at that time, when I was hanging out with him, I was about 140 something, because I boxed when I was 112 and 118 and 126, and I retired after I got into 132 pound lightweight. Mostly, you know, I fought amateur and intercollegiate, and I got a little bit bigger than Bruce later, but when I first met him, I was only about 140 pounds, but Bruce, I think, heavy as he ever been was, you know, by 135, 136. Yeah. And he, when I first met him, he wasn't as buffed as he was when he got into the movie business, you know. I mean, when he became in Enter Dragon. Before, he was kind of smooth and small bones. But then he started working out with weights and stuff like that, and then he started getting a lot of definition.
You brought up Jimmy Lee. Jimmy Lee teaches, he taught some stars, but he has a reputation of breaking stacks of bricks. That's the guy, right, with his palm?
Yeah, that's Jimmy. He's a break breaker. Break breaker, and he was always into reality. He didn't like class, even though he took Siouxland Kung Fu. Later, he didn't really think it was real practical because he liked something. He thought boxers had the edge. And that's how I got along with those guys, because when they realized, you know, I used to box, I didn't really have to start out with that Wing Chun stuff, which I tried it, and I felt that boxing was more had more latitude.
Talk about the early days of Bruce Lee, the iconic figure that passed away in 1973 as far as MMA is concerned. Like, he's number one. I mean, you're Conor McGregor and people like that in the world of the UFC right now talking about the legacy of Bruce Lee and how they would have loved to have fought Bruce Lee, the great legend Bruce Lee. He came to San Francisco after being born here. Came back in 1959. Spent 6 months in an apartment above the Lippo Bank in Chinatown. Pretty cool here, these facts come in here. But he worked as a dance teacher. In fact, he won he won a few cha-cha titles. I kid you not. He won titles for doing the cha-cha.
Yeah, that's what I heard, you know. And I didn't talk to him about the dancing things. Every time we got together, we talked about how to really have a one-upmanship on your opponent.
Now, you were born in China. You grew up in Arkansas. My father was born in Arkansas. You know what? When I went back to do some television, I guess about 2006, 2007, and they asked me what did I think of Little Rock, seeing that my father was born there. You know what I had to say, Leo?
What?
Thank God Grandma didn't miss that Greyhound.
I agree with you. I went back in 2012 mm-hmm. For my class 65th class reunion, Far City, Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And, man, I said, this is a dump. and you know, the Methodist Church did me a favor by being discriminatory. See, I graduated from Southern Methodist University as a minister. I was in theology. So I went back to Arkansas to my conference and expected them to give me an appointment in one of those country churches dealing with those rednecks. But they didn't. They said, well, you know, Brother Fong, we just can't give you an appointment. I said, why? He said, we don't have no Chinese churches here. And I tell the bishop, I said, I don't speak Chinese. And they said, well, we'll find you something. That's how I got to California. They refused to give me an appointment in the Arkansas Conference and send me out here to Northern California, and I end up in Sacramento at a Chinese church. But thank God they did that to me, because it was where I discovered all the martial arts out here.
How many variations of Kung Fu are there?
Oh, it must be 200, I think.
Wow.
But, you know, I practice Tuor Le Fut. I train in Tuor Le Fut, Siu Lum, and then some Wing Chun. And then there's other, I train other couple instructors. I forgot what the style is, Tiger or something. But basically, most of them are all form-oriented. And to me, form is okay, is exactly what it is, it's form. But when you practice form, a lot of those guys practice form, and you do it well, they think they're ass kickers. Hmm. But they're not. A boxer will clean them up. And that's what happened when, you know, every time I got into a sparring match with some of those guys, they'd come at me flat-footed in a horse stance and no mobility. and you just take a jab and move. That's all, jab and move. And then slam a right cross and left hook, and that's it.
Yeah, you and I both, they had a kickboxing stable here in San Francisco, and they would bring the kickboxers up to spar maybe once or twice a month because we destroyed them. It was just like...
Oh, yeah, yeah. See, I believe in being a specialist in one thing, but being knowledgeable in all angles, in all dimensions. You don't have to be really a kicker to deal with a kicker. You just got to know how to stop a kick.
Leo Fong, did Bruce Lee really fight rooftop fights?
I don't know. That's what that was kind of popular in those days. All these guys get together and fight on rooftop. But, you know, reality of it, I was in Hong Kong one time talking to some people. Those guys were all bad. I mean, you got a bunch of guys that are classical and not real practical fighting each other and making a big deal out of it. They didn't have boxers fighting classical kung fu guys. And I'm sure Bruce Lee probably did real well. You know, he's got good body mechanics and stuff.
Now, was he a southpaw? Because I remember him training and say or reading about him watching Muhammad Ali in a mirror off a film. Was he
That's what he did to me one time when I went to his house. See, here's Bruce logic. When I first met him, he says, I'm a boxer. I fought a collegiate amateur. I had about 25 fights in my competition day. So immediately he said, get into a stance. And I got into a boxing stance, left hand forward, right, left foot forward. And he said, no, change it. So he hit me right foot forward and right hand forward. And I said, Bruce, why are you fighting like that? He said, because you're right-handed, right? I said, yeah. He said, you want to put your power hand forward. I said, yeah, but I'm uncomfortable fighting southpaw like this. See, I'm going to show you something. I said, when you, my left hand is just as deadly as my right hand. So I shot a jab and then a hook off the jab. And then and I threw a left jab and a right cross and a left hook. And when I did it, he said, well, you do what you want to do. But I didn't go down in that garage and train consistent with those guys. I ended up in the living room with Jimmy and Bruce talking.
Leo, we're running up here on a hard break. Hold on just a second. Leo Fong's our guest. We're talking Bruce Lee, folks. The iconic figure in the world of MMA, of course, Hollywood as well. 1-800-878-7529. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Super fine. I'm so glad you're mine.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-414-1051. That's 1-800-414-1051. 1-800-414-1051. Call now.
Attention catheter users. Stop reusing dirty catheters. Catheters are now disposable. Recent changes in Medicare now allow patients up to 200 disposable catheters a month, all at little or no cost to you. We bill Medicare. Put an end to the mess and risk of infection by using old catheters. Just use a catheter once and throw it away. Eliminate trips to the pharmacy and insurance paperwork. Shipping is free. Receive a free catheter sample by calling and joining Medical Direct Club right now.
Call 1-800-399-9018 to receive your free catheter sample discreetly delivered right to your door. That's 1-800-399-9018. 1-800-399-9018. Call 1-800-399-9018 today.
Deductibles and copays apply. Free catheter samples require qualified membership. Sample will arrive with 90-day order.
Are you an inventor who would like to try to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to companies? But you don't know what to do next? Call for free information from InventHelp. InventHelp, a leading inventor service company, has been helping inventors since 1984 and has sales offices located in more than 60 cities nationwide. You'll want to talk to the company that has helped secure more than 7,000 invention patents. So call InventHelp. Even if you have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll still want to call InventHelp for free information. You'll find out how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to companies. So call now.
Call InventHelp at 1-800-316-1738. That's 1-800-316-1738. Get your free information by dialing 1-800-316-1738. That's 1-800-316-1738. 1-800-316-1738.
Not all waters are created equal, and that's why everyone from athletes and celebrities to weekend warriors are choosing Alchemy. It's the ultimate health and wellness water. Alchemy hydrates you faster, helps balance your body's pH levels, stimulates your metabolic function, and is clinically proven to boost the immune system. Plus, Alchemy's patented water is rich in bioavailable oxygen to improve vitality and performance. Available at select retailers and online through Amazon at alchemywater.com. That's alkamewater.com.
Make sure you tune in to the Sports Byline Combat Sports Recap with Pedro Fernandez. Saturday nights on Sports Byline USA Sports Overnight America Weekend Edition. Brought to you by Alchemy Water.
My top fighters of all time. It would have to be a list of three, I think. Hicks and Gracie. I think his approach to martial arts, his approach to the game of unarmed combat is well beyond his years, and he is definitely an inspiration of mine. Of course, Bruce Lee as well. His philosophies ring true. Another man ahead of his time. Both heroes of mine, if you will. And then Muhammad Ali as well, of course, fits in there. You know, a guy that changed the face of the game, changed the approach, and all game changers in their own way. I mean, I suppose it would be pretty sweet to fight Bruce Lee or fight Hickson or fight one of these legends, you know, to test yourself against the best of the best.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass.
This is the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Leo Fong is our guest, filmmaker out of Southern California, kung fu guy. I mean, do you have a black belt? Did you go that far or what?
Who's that, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have several black belts.
How do you get this mysterious black belt? And is there a belt above a black belt?
I first started out in Taekwondo, Budokwan. It's Korean art. Mm-hmm. One of the students in Sacramento State University was going to school there back in 1950 something. 58 or 57, and he used to come over to my church and train me, and then when he left, went back to Korea, I got a black belt from him and a certificate signed by Quang Ki, who was head of the Muay Thai Association at that time. And it was a second-degree black belt.
Bruce Lee's the subject, folks. Did I cut you off there, sir?
Yeah, sure.
All right. The Green Hornet show was one of my favorite TV shows of all time. There's only like 26 or 28 episodes of it, but it and Batman, I mean, they were just like epic parts of my childhood, and I still watch them, my rerun. But it was called the Kato Show everywhere but in the United States because of the fact that Kato was Asian. That's what I was told. Is that true?
Well, knowing the atmosphere at that time of racism, I'm sure it was. They probably don't want to do anything that has to do with giving Asians other than being a servant or a chauffeur or all that, you know.
Leo Fong's our guest, folks. We're talking Bruce Lee, of course, the iconic figure. And, you know, when I think of Bruce Lee and I think of the movies and things like that, but I remember he fought Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And Jabbar was like 7'1". It was, you know, obviously the NBA icon that he is, but they staged that fight. Were you part of working with him for that fight?
No. But I, knowing Bruce, he get somebody like Kareem as a challenge. So, and I'm sure he's, you know, he said, well, the taller they are, the more lower he's going to go for his knee and all that stuff. Yeah.
Another guy in movies with an MMA background was Fred the Hammer Williamson, former defensive back, I think, with the AFL, the American Football League. You ever see Fred work?
I worked with him for 3 pictures.
What were they?
Huh?
You remember?
One was I worked with him in
Fred Williamson, of course, the Hammer.
Worked with him in Transformed.
Okay.
Which I shot in 2007. And then I worked in Blind Rage, 5 blind guys robbing bank, and Fred played the cop.
You know, I watched Hammer just the other day, the 1972 flick Hammer. Of course, that was really his first big movie. He came with MASH and then Tell Me You Love Me with Julie Moon in 1970. And the legend of, quote, and I'm going to read this on the air, the legend of Nigger Charlie in 1972 and 1973. He played Black Caesar. He played Hell Up in Harlem. I mean, Fred Williams is a character. In fact, if you still get a hold of Fred's down in Palm Springs somewhere, right?
Yeah, I haven't talked to him lately, but last time when he worked for me on Transform, I just called him, and I said, hey, Fred, I said, I got a little part for you in a movie I'm shooting right now. He said, what's the deal, my man? And I told him, and he said, okay. So he came up here. He showed off his brand-new, his brand-new
car,
you know. And and so he came up here, and then he spent about 2 or 3 days with me. We shot the stuff, and he came up for the for shooting the artwork. You know, he came up here. He's okay. I enjoy working with him.
How good was he with his hands?
He looks kind of awkward, you know. But I'm sure on the football field, he is a hammer.
And they call him a hammer.
But as far as his boxing or martial arts, he looked like he needs some work, you know.
Conor McGregor led us into this segment on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, talking about Bruce Lee and he'd like to fight Bruce Lee and things like that. Bruce Lee still has an impact, you know, several years after his passing in 1973. Why is that? What makes Bruce Lee so special?
Well, you know, Bruce Lee had a lot of charisma, and he knew how to manipulate the public. And I tell you a good example. I was at his house one day, and I was looking at his books. He had 3 bookshelves from floor to almost the ceiling. One was martial arts. The other was inspirational books, you know, by different philosophers. And then there was one had a lot of real estate books in there. And I was interested. I said, Bruce, are you studying real estate? Or are you going to become a real estate salesman or whatever? He said, no. I'm the real estate. You get the point there?
Sir.
Okay, he knew how to sell himself.
much like Ali today. And have you checked out Ronda Rousey? You know who she is?
Yeah. She's a really bad mama.
She's a bad mama, huh?
And she can turn everything into an armbar.
Yes, she can.
I love that.
You know, I'm looking at some of the films you worked on, Murder in the Orient, Tiger's Revenge, and Forrester from Death Row, The Last Reunion, Kill Point, Ninja Assassins, all these fights, The Shadow Boxer in 2012, all these fights involving MMA. What was License to Kill like? Talk to me about that.
License to Kill?
Yeah.
I changed the title, I think, later. I don't know. Okay. I don't remember what I changed it to.
Okay.
But all those things had one common theme, has to do with kidnapping, murder, whatever. But we always use martial arts to take care of the bad guys.
Okay. You were originally born in China back in 1928. I mean, you're 86 years old. They tell me your health is great. What do you attribute to being so sharp at 86?
Keep working out and keep doing the things that you enjoy doing, and don't worry about the aging. I just got through shoulder surgery a couple of months ago, and I hurt my shoulder so many times that the doctor said, "Well, there's no way of attaching those ligaments back in the rotator cuff. We're going to have to hope that it heal up where it is. It's scar tissue." Well, I'm beginning to get most of my movement back, but I have to be careful. But I attribute it to my daily exercise program, and I watch what I eat, and then I have a real positive mental attitude. And occasionally I will take a speaking engagement and have to prepare my sermons. I'm preaching this next Sunday at St. Paul's United Methodist Church in Tarzana. Mm-hmm. And so these things keep me going, and I think it's important to interact with younger people and not let age be a limitation. Like, I just came back from the gym. I trained with about four or five guys, working with them this morning, and so that kept me going. And I practice on my own a lot, I live with the stigma. When I was a kid, I was picked on all the time, mm-hmm. and I never want to be a victim anymore. And I think I practice with intensity today because I don't want to be a victim. And even though the threat is not as great as it used to be.
you started off by reading The Fundamentals of Boxing by former champion Barney Ross. That was your insight into the world of the fight game, Leo Fong?
Yes, correct. I still have that book.
Hmm. We're talking Bruce Lee and his impact, of course, on the world of sports, the world of MMA, and the world of Hollywood. I mean, made Enter the Dragon. I'm gonna get cut straight to the chase here. How did Bruce Lee die? Do you know?
Well, he he died of brain hemorrhage. And I talked to a doctor before, and I explained to him. I said, "What happened, you think?" And he said, "He probably grew up with a very thin artery in his brain, mm-hmm. and it could burst any time. You know, he has medical term for it, but yeah. I don't remember what the medical terms are. But anyway, he was very vulnerable to something like that. It could explode and rupture at any time. And unfortunately, it did when he was 32 years old or whatever, you know, that age. Yeah.
And you are like a well-balanced dude. You got a Bachelor of Arts degree in physical education, a Master's of Theology. I mean, and you work you got a degree in social work. You work in the church as a pastor. I mean, you're an amazing man. 86 years old or not, you are amazing.
Well, I don't see, one of the things that I don't mind being amazing, but one of the things that made me do one of those things is. Yes, I notice whenever I'm put in an adverse situation, I try to turn it into an advantage. In other words, when life gives you a lemon, you turn it lemonade. And I realize that now, looking back, from day one when they send me out to California because they didn't want to put me into a white church, I made the best of it. I was bitter for a lot of years at the Methodist Church. But then I thank God that they did what they did because they meant evil and God meant good.
Okay, so tell me about your website, Leo T. Fong.
Well, you know, it is. I haven't looked at it lately, but someone else is running that thing. The Leo T. Fong website is just to highlight some of my movies and books that I have for sale, you know, and I think it's a little bit about my biography.
Have you checked out Conor McGregor? I used him as a lead coming into these couple of segments. Have you checked him out at all, the Irish kid?
No, I haven't.
He's going to fight Jose Aldo on July the 11th in UFC 187, I believe.
Well,
I think you ought to catch that one. That's going to be a hell of a fight. Tell me this. Was Gene LaBelle really a bad dude, or was he a studio type of athlete?
Well, you know, Gene LaBelle, I have a lot of respect for him. Gene LaBelle was bad. He was a bad dude, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a nice guy. And, you know, I heard a story about him and Steven Seagal. I don't ever heard about that.
Make it quick.
But I think Steven Seagal has a tendency to hit his stunt guys. Mm-hmm. And I think he hit Gene LaBelle, and LaBelle said, don't do that. So anyway, he hit him again, and Gene LaBelle put a chokehold on him and turned him loose. Steven Seagal didn't respect that, so he hit him again as they do in the stunts. And Gene LaBelle just put a choke on him and didn't turn loose. And they said that he messed up his pants and everything, you know. But Gene LaBelle is known, his specialty, like Ronda Rousey, is an armbar. Gene LaBelle is a chokehold.
Interesting. Yeah. The great Leo Fong, I thank you for your time talking about Bruce Lee in the world of mixed martial arts. Your film work is incredible, and if you got any parts for an announcer in his 50s down there, let me know.
I have. I'm shooting something every month. So anyway, you get in touch with me. Get Malcolm to give you, you don't have my telephone anyway.
Yes,
give me your telephone number and have Malcolm to call me and when you say you're available. And I'll make it happen, you know.
You're the man. Thank you so much, Leo Fong. This has been special.
Okay, thank you.
Leo Fong on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.